I'm going to open in prayer. Oh, so Father, we just come before you this morning, and we just thank you for, we thank you for this time, this rich time in the morning before, this pre-dawn before the sun rises. And God, we love you in the pre-morning. We love you before the sun rises. We love you when the sun is setting. We love you when the sun is high in the sky. God, we just love you. We love you throughout the day. And Father, as we just continue to learn and grow and discover who we are in your purposes, in your plans, and what you have designed, how you've designed us as partners with you, would you continue to unfold just the revelation of your love for us, the revelation of who you are in our hearts, that as we understand even more and more who you are, that we will gain revelation of who we are. So, God, we just bless you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. All righty. Okay, so if you would take a look at the top. The majority of the time I'm going to focus on kind of the foundations of
effective intercession. That is Roman numeral 3. I don't even know why I got all schooly there when I was printing this up. But I just wanted to look at, as we're diving into session 2, it's this ministry of intercession. So why prayer? And I don't know about you, but I have a question there. Have you ever asked yourself the question, why does an all-powerful God need me to pray to get things done? And this was a question that for many years I really wrestled with, because I thought, well, God knows my heart. He knows what he wants to do on the planet. And who am I and who are we, his people, to even ask him to do things? Like, that was just a wrestling that I had. So as I studied it out, God doesn't need us to build his kingdom on the earth, but he wants us to be a part of this great adventure of overthrowing the kingdom of darkness. Very dramatic. But it's what he wants. It's his desire. And prayer is one of the ways that God's chosen to bring heaven to earth. And what I really believe is that what God is doing around the globe right now, in the days in which we're living, cannot happen without the house of prayer. What we do in that place of intercession is ushering in the return of the King. It will bring heaven to earth, and the house of prayer is, it's the linchpin that's just changing the trajectory of history. So what is intercession? Intercession is agreeing with and asking for the will of God to be done in the earth. It's that Matthew 6, your kingdom come, your will be done. And the goal of intercession is to make the earth like heaven, on earth as it is in heaven. I think when Jesus laid out telling us how to pray, he was giving us such insight into, this is what I desire, this is what my Father desires, this is what your Father desires, so begin to move in this way and to think about what would it look like for heaven to come to this circumstance? What would it look like for heaven to invade this family, this church, this city? And just to begin to dream, because we are, and I have this in the notes, that intercession is a bridge. We live in two realms. Oh, I'm getting probably way ahead of myself. But we live in two realms. We live in heaven because scripture tells us we're seated in heavenly places. So we live in the heavenly realm, but we are functioning here on the earth. So we take what's in heaven and we bring it to earth via intercession. So it's this bridge that connects. Intercession bridges what heaven says, does, wants to what is happening on the earth. We, the church, are the representative authority on the earth, and he has given us the power to change lives, cities, events, circumstances, and I feel like the enemy has just kept us so silent, and he has kind of shifted and changed what even that word church, and we're going to look at that a little bit more, what that word church even means. So we've looked at it like, well, it's a place we go and we worship on a Sunday morning. What it really means is we are this powerful representation of God on the earth. and we carry his power, we carry his resources, we carry his kingdom within us, and we have the ruling and governing authority on the earth as his representation on the earth. So one of the things that I'm really hoping is that our hearts get stirred to intercession in such a way to realize the authority we carry and the power that backs us because of the authority we carry. If I walked around and I just put on my shirt a police badge and I just walked around saying, I'm the policeman of the house of prayer, I'm the policeman of the city, I might look like I have authority, but there's no power to back it because I don't have a gun. There's nobody behind me saying, that's right. She's got the power. She's the policeman. So there is something that we get to stand in because of who we are. We actually have authority, but we have the power that backs it because of who we are connected to. So there are two couple words that just kind of want to pull out about intercession. So it is to plead to God on behalf of others. Palal, it means to intervene, to intercede, to mediate, to come between. So it actually, what I think of in that word is I'm actually standing between. I have God on one side, heaven on one side, and I have whatever the issue is, whoever the person is, whatever the circumstance is, on the other side. And I stand as a bridge between, so it's that heaven invading earth, and I am standing in the gap. I'm mediating, and I'm saying, let your will be done in this life, in this circumstance, in this situation, with this event, in this city, as it is in heaven, and I get to be the go-between. The other word is paga, meaning to meet, to plead, to attack. It's that striking the mark. It's striking the mark. And we know, and we'll have a whole session on perseverance in prayer, but it's striking the mark, and it's striking the mark, and it's striking the mark, and we don't give up. We keep striking the mark, until there's breakthrough. So that is what intercession means. In one way, we stand as the bridge. That's who we are. And in the other way, we just don't stop. We don't stop. We are saying, I am contending, I am believing, and every time I pray, I hit the mark. I hit the mark. I hit the mark. And I'm not giving up until I see a movement in whatever the circumstance is, whatever the person is. So what does it look like to be effective in that? And these are the areas that I really want to land in, because if we can get a hold of these little qualities, I feel like it changes, it makes intercession a pleasure instead of just a duty. Yeah. And I know, and I do think that sometimes everything starts as a discipline, and then you grow in love from the discipline. So I think when I first started in intercession, it was, there were just things happening in my life that were, I just needed to cry out to God. And so it kind of started out like it was a duty in my heart. I need to see breakthrough in this area. And then after a while, it just became, I couldn't even wait to get in that place because of who I'm connected to. And knowing that he actually wants me to partner with him to get things done on the earth. I'm not just some random, well, here I am among all the millions of your followers. No, I represent him in my sphere on the earth. Okay, so here we go. Intimacy. This is key. And really it starts in the garden, which was what we talked about last week. Intimacy, and Jesus said it, our Father. And Jesus, when he came, he introduced a whole new way of knowing God. They had over 300 names for God. And Jesus comes on the scene and he reveals to his disciples, he's your Father. This is the most intimate way to connect with him. And this was very common to the Jewish people at that time. When he said Father, it was Abba, which had this like this endearing term, which spoke to intimacy. So when Jesus said that, that would have been shocking to them, because they knew God as powerful, they knew him as king, they knew him as creator, but they didn't have, he was the I am, but there was no intimacy in that place of, it was more like he's distant, he does things because he's all powerful, And Jesus said, no, I want you to have this relationship with your Father in confidence, in intimacy, security. So for us too, it's that same thing. He's unlike any father that, even if you have the best dad in the world, he's unlike any earthly father because he's perfect. And he's the source of love. He's the source of security. He's the source of all of it in that place of intimacy. So our intercession is to be rooted in this relationship with our Father. And he shares his heart with us because we're his kids. And we then become passionate about his will being done on the earth. The highest value of the kingdom is relationship. It's the priority of the kingdom. We know this. We've heard this probably 100 times. The Father doesn't want workers. He wants sons and daughters. And when you find yourself in that place of working or striving, to just ask, okay, whoa, you know, Father, what are you wanting to say to me right now as your daughter or your son? And to get, if you're feeling like you're kind of out of that place of intimacy, before you head into intercession, get in that place of just receiving love from the Father. And then, you know, there's something about just resting. It's that abiding. Isaac and I were talking about that yesterday. Just abiding, remaining in who he is, letting his love, his life flow through us, and start asking him, what's on your heart? Every night when we do intercession, I come in and I don't come up with a plan like, okay, tonight I'm going to pray for this. I sit when we're doing worship and I just say, Lord, what's on your heart tonight? Last night, Lord, what's on your heart for the children in our city? What do you want to say about what's going on? What is important to you? Because I want to partner with you, with your heart, with your plan, with your purpose. I don't want to just come up with words to come up on the mic and pray something. So this is that place of intimacy, and it's that place of connection that is our true foundation. The second one is love. Intercession is rooted in God's love for a broken world. Romans 5:8, God demonstrated his love, his own love for us in this, that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. He loves. That's who he is. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. This place of intercession has to be rooted in God's love for the brokenness of mankind, for that our world doesn't look like what it's supposed to look like. This world does not look like the garden. It does not look like the way that God designed it. Eden is not seen in the city of Omaha in very many places. Maybe there are a couple. So we want to just say, God, we want to love the world. We want to love our city. We want to love, you know, the people. We want to love whatever God begins to put on your heart. We want to love that broken place the way you do. Jesus himself, he numbered himself with transgressors. During intercession, then we identify with the sins and brokenness of humanity. Daniel did this. He identified himself with his people. And so we cry out to God. Jesus identified. He identified himself with rebellious, with the hurting, with the broken. Like, that was just part of who he was. And you could feel it. You can feel it when you read through his words in the Gospels. You can feel the brokenness in his heart for the people. When he talks about, they're like sheep, these helpless sheep, they're harassed. They're harassed. They have no shepherd. There's this brokenness that he sees when it's filled with compassion. And we need to tap into that. Judgment prevents us from effective intercession. So when we come from that place of judgment, we really need to check our own hearts, because that is not how God operates. That's not what love looks like. Love, mercy, triumphs over judgment. So we want to humble ourselves in that place of just being able to release the kingdom. Love and compassion, they unlock those doors of authority and doors of influence. We don't have authority over what we don't love. And in those areas that are hard to think about praying for, we need to just check our hearts. Like, do I feel the compassion the way you do, Jesus? When I'm praying for somebody, how much more awesome is it when we pray for someone, even someone who has wounded us, who has hurt us, who has done us wrong, if we can say, Father, how do you see that person? Instead of coming from our own lens of, oh, well, they, you know, look what they did to me. Do you not understand? They deserve punishment. They did whatever. You know, we can say, how do you see him? Give me your eyes that I can pray, that I can pray for them, that I can intercede. Give me a heart of love for that one. And the more we can do that, we get a level of authority, and we get a level of influence that we don't get just by standing on my soapbox and I'm going to declare this to the world. And instead, it's just coming in that place of humility. It's that opposite spirit that always carries power. In intercession, God invites us to love what he loves. And the way we find out what he loves is we really need to know the word, and not only the word. Because the Pharisees knew the word, and Jesus said, I have no place in you, because you're thinking that I'm going to be found in pages, and I'm standing right in front of you and you don't even see me. So we can take the word, not that we don't want the word, but we don't want the word to be just like a book that we're reading to get information. We want this to be this letter that God has written that begins to permeate our hearts. And what goes along with his word is listening to his voice. So in that place of intimacy, in that place of love, we get with God and we just say, what's on your heart today? You bring your prayer list before him, or you bring a burden that's weighing on you, and you just say, what do you have to say about this situation? What do you have to say, God, about that relationship? You see my heart, you see their heart. What's on your heart for that? And it's from that place that we begin to get a burden for what is really on his heart. We get to carry the burden for the world. He gives us the ability to see through his eyes. And the more we spend time with him, we pray for the nations on Wednesdays. And, I'm not a world traveler. I've been to a bunch of cities and states in the United States, and that's about it. And I've done a mission trip to Haiti, and I've done a mission trip to Mexico, and that's about it. But when I stand at a map, which is silly, it's this flat map, and I begin to just ask, like, God, what's on your heart for Japan? What's on your heart for Malaysia? What's on your heart for the Sudan? What's on your heart for Burma? What's on your heart? And the more that I connect with his heart and not put any agenda on it, just ask him, it's amazing, you know, the scriptures that come forth, that all the ends of the earth, they will know my name, they will worship me. Well, God, it's not happening. It's not happening. How can I partner with you to pray that into heaven to earth in the nation of Burma, heaven to earth in the nation of Sudan, heaven to earth? Like, we gain his heart the more we meet with him, the more we talk with him, the more we read his word, and just allow his voice and that the things that he loves, let him touch us, that we would see the way he sees through his eyes. So we have that intimacy and we have this place of love. And really, where I've landed for a number of months, and I just, even in prayer, I often come back to it, Ephesians 3, how wide and high and long and deep is the love of God. Like, okay, how high? Well, it's immeasurable. How long? It's immeasurable. Like, that, you can't even, how do you even begin to dream that? But that if we can understand a little taste, if we can get our toe in the ocean of his love to understand how long and high and wide and deep is his love, then we can begin to feel his love for others. We can begin to feel his love for the children in India. We can begin to feel his love for the orphans. We begin to feel his love for those who are perishing without ever hearing his name. This is what he's calling us to. And then his ability and his goodness, who he is and what he's like. This is where it all comes from. This helps us with intercession. His power, his ability, and his goodness, which is, again, all wrapped up in the Lord's Prayer, because his desire is that his kingdom would come in every sphere, in every place, in every way, everywhere, to every person. That's his desire. So we pray accordance to his nature. So that what we have to do is dive into the mysteries of who God is. Every revelation of God that we receive becomes this weapon of warfare. So the more revelation we have on God, it's like our prayers, our belief, what we stand in, gets larger because we have an expanded view of who he is. We have greater revelation of who he is. So I would say, just soak yourself in his nature. Soak yourself in how great he is. Study out his character so that you can pray, this is who my God is, and this is what his ability is. He is greater. He is higher. He has more love. He has more power. He is the source of all things. Like, the more we get that, the greater our prayers will be, and we'll stand with this confidence and victory because he's an overcomer. Yeah. That's who he is.
Yeah.
Okay, so next one. All right, let's see. Page 2. So his name tells us who he is and what he's like. It's the representation of his character. So we need to be convinced of his nature. Because God will give us as much of him as we can contain. So we just keep expanding our capacity. Keep asking God, expand my capacity to even know you more in whatever we're studying. As I'm kind of in the love thing, you know, Ephesians 3, that's really where I'm landing. God, what does it mean for you to be, how deep does your love go? Like, what is that? And I seriously think of the ocean because I love the ocean. And the depth of the ocean, and I'm kind of scared of how deep the ocean is, and the valleys that are in the ocean. Like, there's so much in an actual ocean. Well, what is the ocean of his love? What is that like? So it's just wanting to know more that would be such revelation to us that's the place that we come and stand and pray. And when we praise his name, this is really connected. Intercession is... It's like, you know, this is the one side of a two-sided coin. Praise and prayer. Worship and prayer. That harp and bowl. They are so intimately connected, you can't really take one away from the other. So when we praise him, our view of God is expanded. You know how there's something about praise. Whether we declare it with our words, whether we sing it with our mouth, there is something about praise that enlarges our heart to see him rightly. Praise always changes, you know, our perspective. So we get this level of faith and belief that comes from praise. So if you are feeling like, man, I'm just feeling kind of low today, well, you worship. You know, you sing it. You praise him. You get out declarations of, God, this is who you are. And Psalm 29, ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Ascribe to the Lord. You know, Psalm 150, just begin those psalms of praise. Sing them, pray them, declare them, so that we can stand from that place of faith. Praise helps us pray in agreement with his ability. This is who you are. Your voice breaks the cedars. God, in this situation, come and break off, you know, blah, blah, blah. So we gain this agreement with him. We gain in the spirit from praise. And this intercession, it flows from the revelation of his ability, his power, and his goodness to change things. It's, you know, the wisdom, spirit of wisdom and revelation break in. You can change all things. You have all power to do it. And then intercession flows from revelation of his goodness and his passion, his desire to restore all things. Let heaven come. What's in heaven? Study out Revelation 4 and 5, 21, 22. Let heaven come. In this place of worship, it's this doorway into intercession. We commune with God. We share God's heart for the world. There's something about worship that opens a door for intercession that you don't get just in sitting and praying. There is something about the worship. God's designed it that way. It's happening right now in his great living room, his throne room. Prayer and praise are going on right now. Our D is position. So we want to know the place, how to be effective intercession, intimacy, love, knowing that his ability and goodness, and then our position as sons and daughters. We're sons of a God who owns the whole earth. We have access to what he has. We need greater revelation of sonship. We need to ask the Father, show me who I am as your daughter. I need greater revelation. You know, Luke 15, the story of the son who runs off, and then the elder son who is there slaving for his father. Well, we see that the son, that prodigal who ran off, at the end of that, he understands who he is as a son. That elder son doesn't ever figure it out, as far as we know. God just leaves us that story. The father's letting the older son know, no, everything I have, you've been with me. Everything I have is yours. But he didn't know his position as a son. Because his response is, I've been slaving all these years. What son would say that? So we want to know more of the revelation of, how do you see me as your daughter? And when we've had like kind of messed up history with our own parents, it can really affect our thinking. And even if we have great parents, we have to understand that, you know what? Even that can't even touch what it's like, the inheritance that I have, the relationship that I have, the love that God has for me as a son, as a daughter. We have full access to what he has. That's that power that backs what we do. He's given us stewardship and dominion of the earth. That's been given to his children. And we represent and release God and his will in all the earth, that Matthew 6:10. So here's the ecclesia. The ecclesia actually started in ancient Greece. It was this assembly of people that were the ruling authority, a group of about 6,000 of them, and they were responsible for declaring war, military strategy. They had the final say on all legislation that happened in ancient Greece. So if you take that, and that's what God says about us, that we're the ecclesia, it's this political term, we're a ruling body of citizens. And we have abdicated our responsibility. We have not taken our responsibility the way that it has been given to us. We are to legislate heaven on earth by the things that we pray. This is a governmental term. We are a ruling body. We are to govern. God has given us an assignment to steward the earth. And in our lack of confession, in our lack of partnership, in our weariness, in our silence, we have not done and lived the way God has called us to live and speak and say and think. We are to have the final say on legislation. And the gates of hell cannot contend with that, the governing authority. So we need to know our position. So study that out this week. His perspective, this is my favorite one. We pray from this expanded view of God. We see him as victorious over all the works of darkness. Isaiah 6. You know, in Isaiah 6, let's go to it. That just popped in my head, so let's turn there. Isaiah 6 with Isaiah. Oh my gosh. Isn't that brilliant? No, it's not Jeremiah. Isaiah 6 actually has Isaiah in it, the passage. Yeah, right? Isaiah 6, in the first one, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with 6 wings. With 2 wings they covered their faces, with 2 they covered their feet, and with 2 they were flying, calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Okay, just even that, when you think about his perspective, the voices of the angels shake the threshold, the foundations. That in itself should tell us how powerful our God is, if the angels shake the place where Isaiah is standing. And if you see that Isaiah sees the Lord, he's high and exalted. So here we gives us a clue. Our eyes need to be up. We're looking at God, high and exalted. And something that I've studied out from when this passage, because I wondered about the train of the robe. I was like, what is that? So when I studied this a couple years ago, in that time and season, in King Uzziah's time, when a king would go in and conquer an area, conquer a king, what they would do is they would kill a lot of people, but they would take the king's robe, his robe, and they would cut it, and they would attach it to their train, showing that they had victory over that king of that land. So their train would grow and be all of these different lands who they had conquered. So when you think about our king, high and exalted, the train of his robe fills a temple. His train has all of those things that say, I'm the highest, I'm the best. No, he has victory over all of them. So that train is whatever we see in our lives that's holding us or has power over us, God has power over that. Every single thing. So when I think about that train of the robe, filling the temple, it's his victory over all things. What did that train look like? What did Isaiah see? Begin to imagine even that when we get his perspective, he's victorious over all the works of darkness. He's victorious over all the things that even hold our own lives. He's victorious over those things that hold our family in places of bondage. He's victorious over all things that hold the orphans, that hold sex traffic. All of that, that's on his robe. He's victorious over all the works of darkness. That's his perspective. So when we pray from our position. We're seated with him. We see him high and lifted up. So we can pray from this place of power, place of authority, and we can pray with joy and hope that he wants to conquer. He wants to reign. He wants to do it in our lives. We are not so small that he doesn't want to pay attention to what is on our heart to pray.
Yeah.
We are not so small and weak that, oh, well, who am I? Who am I? I'm a son. I'm a daughter of a king. And he is victorious over all the works of darkness. So because of that, I am seated with him in heavenly places, scripture tells me. And he is high and exalted. So King Uzziah died. He was a good king. Isaiah was lamenting. Oh, the good king has passed away. And it's like God is saying, hold on. I am high and lifted up. So when we need to keep our eyes off of what's happening here and we keep our eyes lifted on what's going on from heaven's perspective. So in the midst, that number three, in the midst of evil and corruption, we're able to see what God sees. Pray from this perspective. The earth is raging. In Psalm 2:4. Sorry, I put a one there. It's supposed to be 2:4. The earth is raging and heaven is laughing. We enter in the joy of heaven when we pray from heaven towards the earth. We pray with hope and expectation of breakthrough. Romans 4 tells us, do not waver in unbelief. Believe he can do it. Release hope. Shift your perspective from heaven. Flip to Romans 4, because this has been one of my life verses. And I just, the faith of Abraham just stretches me. There's tension in my heart when I see his faith. Romans 4. 20 and 21. And this is all in context of that what he had been waiting for. He'd been, promised this child, and they waited 25 years. And look at verse 18. Let's go up to Romans 4, 18. Against all hope. Oh, that, I want to tell you, is natural hope. Against all the natural hope. Abraham in hope, that's kingdom hope, believed, and so he became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, that needs to be our verse. Without weakening in my faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. And here is these two verses that grip my heart. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. Like, amen and amen to that. We do not waver in unbelief. We believe that God can do it. This is what he's promised. It's his desire. You might think, well, I'm not sure. Let heaven come to earth. On earth as it is in heaven. If what you're praying for doesn't look like heaven, then you know he promised, this is the way I want it. So we can come with confidence and we can pray it and we can believe it because this is what he has said he wants to do. So we don't waver. We'll be talking about perseverance in a couple weeks. And that's the place where we stand. We keep our faith encouraged. And we pray offensively. We've got the ball. We're winning. We're not on the losing team. We're victorious. So we pray from that perspective. Ownership. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Psalm 24:1 tells us. He owns all of it. And he's given it to us as an inheritance. So since God owns the whole planet and he's given it us to us to steward it, we want to take good ownership of it. So while we're here, until he comes to renew and restore, make all things new, we want to do the best that we can. We want to steward the earth well. Ownership changes the way we pray. It will increase our love. It will unleash dreams and creativity. Dream with God about the city you live in. Dream with God about your neighborhood. Dream with God about your family, about your church, about North Omaha. Dream with God about the things that you want to see him do because he's asking us, again, to partner with him. Yes. Where God has planted you, that's where we all are, right here in the city of Omaha or the various surrounding areas, you have authority. Ask him, what do you want to do here? In one of the Holy Ghost movies, and I think it was the last one, I forget who the guy is that sings, walks and sings through India, and it's so awesome. And he's singing through, and he's got his little guitar, and literally he's singing, what if love came to town? What if love came to town? And it has impacted me that I saw that movie, and that has never left me. And that's how I pray. What does it look like? And I have it in notes everywhere. What does it look like when love comes to my city? What does it look like when love comes to my neighborhood? What does it look like when heaven is released? So begin to dream with God because he wants us to steward this. We have ownership of it because he's handed it to us. And yes, Adam gave the keys away, but Jesus got them back. Right. So we got the ownership of the earth. That is given to us. So those are really the areas I really wanted to, we'll kind of whip through the end, but I just want us to hold on to these, to have this effective intercession. And I don't mean that in the way of checking off a list and doing, you know, the striving part of it. It's just to come into agreement with God about what he wants. We need that intimacy with the Father to understand greater revelation of love, to know his ability and his goodness. He's so great to know our position as a son and a daughter, to get his perspective. And I think that this world is so corrupt, and this world is such a mess, that to spend time just meditating on his perspective, like just to get a fresh perspective, what does it look like? What does it look like? I mean, when I pray in the evenings, I will say, what does it look like from your perspective when I'm praying for our city? Like, what do you see from where you're at? I know I'm seated in heavenly places with you. So, Father, what are you seeing and what are you saying about my city? What's your desire? So to just spend time gaining his perspective, and then to know that he's given this planet to us as to be owners of it, to steward it, to do well with it. So when the assignment I'm giving you, I'm going to tell you your assignment now. So if we don't have time to finish this, you've got your assignment. This week, I'd really love for you to dream with God. And I was challenged by our pastor. When we lived in Minneapolis, I've been listening to a lot of his messages. I've been back and forth, you know, to Minneapolis a lot. And so I've been listening to his messages. And he's really challenging me once again to just begin dreaming with God about things and using that sanctified imagination. And remember, Ephesians 3 at the end tells us we can't even dream or imagine what's on God's heart. Like, so if you dream something crazy and you think, oh, there is no way that could happen. Well, Ephesians 3 tells us that we can't even begin to dream the dreams that are on God's heart, because he's so much bigger and greater and, you know, mysterious. So to begin to dream with God, what would it look like for heaven to come to whatever, whatever, your city, if you've got a situation in your life now that you just need some breakthrough in, what does it look like for heaven to come to that, a relationship, a circumstance? And when you dream it and you see it in your mind's eye, it I think of 1 Kings 18 when Elijah, they had just had the big showdown on Mount Carmel, and the Baal, you know, the guys trying to get Baal to answer. God comes in fire, water, laps it all up and all that. And then Elijah tells King Ahab, go and get set up because I hear the sound of heavy rain. So he climbs up the mountain and he sees it. So part of intercession is we see it in our spirit before it actually is manifest. So he gets up on that mountain and he is in that position of prayer. He is humbly before the Lord. He's on his knees and he sees it and he tells his servant, go look to see, go look for the cloud. And that servant runs, oh no, there's nothing. Go again. He's not discouraged because he knows what God has said and he has seen it in his spirit. So he sends that servant 7 times, and then that servant comes back and he says, I see a cloud the size of a man's hand, and it's rising. And so for us, when we begin to dream with God, we see it in the spirit. God, what are you saying? What does it look like for heaven to come to this relationship? What does it look like for heaven to come in my circumstance? And I see it. And even if it's not manifest the first time, the second time, I keep praying because I pray with hope. I pray with expectation. I pray with his perspective. I pray with faith. I pray with joy that he has the victory. And I see it in my spirit before it's even made manifest. There is something so powerful about our imagination. There's something so powerful about what we're thinking, that what we speak, we want to speak what he has us speaking. And so Jesus said, you know, I only say what the Father tells me to say. We want to be careful. Remember when John was going to be born, you know, Zechariah gets the word that, oh, your wife is going to have a son. His name's going to be John, blah, 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 blah. Here's all that's going to happen. And Zechariah laughs. And what does the Lord do? Shuts his mouth for the next 9 months because he can't risk having him speak a word against what he's going to do.
Yeah.
So we have to be so careful that our words in intercession line up with the Father's words, line up with what he wants to do. And we pray, when we do that, then we gain his perspective. We get his joy. We get hope in our heart. We get faith. We get belief because it's already woven in our fabric because we've seen it. I see it here first and I call it forth in the way I pray and the things that I'm standing on. Because of all of that that I just laid out, those foundations that give us that effective intercession. So that is your assignment, and now we're done. I knew we wouldn't get to the end of that. So you can read through the rest of those notes. just giving the, just kind of the formation of that worship and prayer. And we're going to be talking more about that harp and bowl together. And I just really want to challenge you this week when you're in the prayer room, when you're in your own time, when you're driving in your car. Make that car, you know, my kids, we used to call it, it's the driving sanctuary. You know, we would just be in the car and just talking to the Lord and talking to one another and just making it a place of prayer. Make your homes a house of prayer. Make your cars a house of prayer. Make your workplace a house of prayer. That this intercession isn't just an assignment from God, but it's this joy of our heart to partner with him, to see things change. Walter Wink, that great quote I shared last week, I won't share the whole thing of it, but it's history belongs to the intercessors. We see the future, we call it into the present. So that's who we are, and that's what we get to do in partnership with him. All right, so Father, we thank you. We thank you. Would you give us greater revelation of just how much you love us and what you've called us into? God, I ask that we, the church, would be awakened into knowing who we are as the ruling body on the earth. That the gates of hell cannot stand against us. They will not prevail because we take who you are and we declare your goodness. We declare your greatness and we say what happens on the earth. So God, give us boldness in our speech. Give us power and authority. Would you back us from heaven with all of your resources that we would know who we are and we would take our rightful place.
Yes,
in Jesus' name, amen. Amen.